everyone. Welcome back to the Heart to Heart podcast. My name is Hyla. I am your host here. I'm also the co-founder of the activewear and swimwear brand 437. I started this podcast because I am so passionate about, you know, the intersection of wellness, femininity, spirituality, and also, you know, career advancement, if that all makes sense, you know. And I think that the girl boss era was such a big part of my life throughout the, you know, last 7 years of my career at 437. And I just found that I was burnt out. I wasn't taking care of myself. I wasn't connected to myself. And something had to change. My body was just not doing well. My relationships were, you know, being impacted. My inner joy, my inner happiness was being impacted. And so about 2 years ago, I began a journey to connect to myself again, to connect to my feminine energy again, and, you know, to essentially go deep within and fall back in love with life and just, yeah, get to know myself. And it's been such an amazing journey. I feel like I've changed a lot in many ways that I'm so happy and I'm so grateful about. But I also can tell that I still have so much room and there's still so much more ways to go. But I've just been enjoying the process. And yeah, I wanted to create this podcast to take you guys along with me and so that we can also grow and learn together. I already have had, and I plan on having some really, really special guests on this podcast, women that can teach us a lot about, you know, spirituality, their careers, feminine energy, you know, psychology, wellness, like everything. And even men, you know, I definitely would love to have a conversation on conscious masculinity, relationships, personal finance, you know, anything. The sky's the limit. I want to have really unique conversations that touch on all of these topics. So yeah, that's just a little bit about what Heart to Heart is. And yeah, the last episode was a deep one. I always laugh when I say that word. It was a heavy one. And I just felt that like today we could have a fun, easy to listen to chit chat. I think the first three episodes were definitely important. And, you know, the first episode being on feminine energy and, you know, the difference between feminine energy and being a girly girl, you know. So, you know, I talked about how I've realized that I was a masculine girly girl and sort of my realization with that and how I wanted to transition into being a fulfilled feminine. And that's just the journey I've been on and feel that I'm like working towards right now and getting there. You know, episode two was about, you know, can I balance it all and stay in my feminine energy? And that one I found was really important because there's just so much out there to do. And when we feel like we're not enough. And so I thought that was really important to talk about. And then the last episode with my guest, Zoe, we talked a lot about the inner healing and the work. And, you know, I found that to be a very necessary conversation because oftentimes we're holding on to so much in our emotions and our bodies, trauma. And there are so many ways that we can start releasing it. And I feel like it's so important to, or else it kind of, one thing she said that I loved is dis-ease causes disease. And I couldn't agree with that more. You know, oftentimes sickness begins in the body, stored emotions and your gut health and your inner well-being plays such a big role in how everything is doing on the outside, you know? And so often we're so quick to be like, what's the best skincare routine? Well, you know, living a life of stress and overwhelm and frustration and unforgiveness and just the hustle and bustle. I mean, that I would say like that's like the anti glass skin routine, you know? So of course I'm all about like, let's talk about how to get glass skin. Like, what are we doing? Are we using snail mucin? What should we, you know, are we using tretinoin? And yes to both of those things, by the way. But, you know, I care even more about the inside out approach. But anyways, I guess what I'm saying is those first few episodes, they were one of those like, yeah, okay, I'm going to listen to those. It's good for me. It's inside, working on the inside. I'm like, today, let's have fun. Let's have a little chit chat. And yeah, keep it light. And then don't worry, next week, I'm sure we'll be back with something very, you know, deep, I'm sure. So, oh, before I get started, I just want to thank everybody for the kindest DMs and messages and reviews on the podcast and the follows. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. The amount of DMs I receive every single day now of women being like, you know, I really connect to your podcast. I resonate with, you know, the masculine girly girl, or that has, you know, been an issue in my relationship, or, you know, thank you so much about speaking about your grandma's passing. You've connected to that. Like, I've received countless DMs, and honestly, it just makes me feel so much more comfortable sharing, opening up to you. And, you know, I've said this before, but it's not that easy being vulnerable. Even with the topics today, like talking about shopping and designer bags and some of the materialistic stuff and surface level stuff, it's also kind of strange to talk about because, you know, if you take something like that to TikTok, there's going to be trolls being like, you know, ripping you apart for spending your money the way that you want to spend your money, you know? And I just realized that as people, none of us are perfect, and we're all living our lives, and, you know, we know what we know, we're going through what we're going through, and let's just do what feels good, and let's be good people, let's do good, and let's live good. You know, it's really as simple as that. And I don't think we're in a place to judge other people. You know, I've had to overcome the fear of being judged because I've just loved this community so much more than the feeling of being comfortable. Because I'm like, whatever, let's chat, let's talk. And I'm not the type of person, if I was scrolling or I was listening to a podcast, I wouldn't judge somebody. I think everyone has like their own thing. And so, yeah, let's talk about our things. Let's have fun today. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get right to it. I'm going to open up my Instagram stories where I asked, you know, let's do a girly chit chat. What are some questions you have? And I'm just going to answer them. So if you're not following me and you want to like send in questions for the next ones, just follow me. And every time I'm about to do one of these, I'll post the question box in advance. Okay, let's start it off. Okay, Marina asked, ways you like to disconnect from the online world and unplug/reset. Okay, I actually just did something last weekend that I loved, and I'm definitely going to do it again. So last weekend, I booked I guess it's called a day pass to like a Nordic spa. And I feel like most places have something like that within a 1 or 2 hour drive from where they live. And if not, just maybe just a regular spa. It was like $100. And I was able to use the like 10 different pools, like heated pools in this outdoor Nordic spa. And there was like 8 different saunas and steam rooms, eucalyptus. And oh my God, there was even this hot stone bed. It was the best $100 I've ever spent. I drove 90 minutes to get there. I went last Sunday. I left my phone in the locker room. I brought a book. It was incredible. I stayed for about 5 hours. You can obviously go and spend like an hour or two, just go sit in there. But I'm like, you're paying for a day. Like, spend as long as you can there. Like, take a nap there. You know, it's the most elite thing if you can just take a nap at one of these Nordic spas, because you go in and you do like the hot pool and you do the sauna and then like whatever circuit you like to do. And then, you know, for example, then I went onto the hot stone like bed. It felt so grounding. Like I felt the connection to the stone, to the earth. Like it sounds so silly, but I actually felt this grounding feeling. And it was amazing. I was drifting off. I wasn't really asleep in that moment, but I was definitely drifting. It was so comfortable. And usually in these Nordic spas, they have like a quiet section and then a social section. I just stay in the quiet section. I love that. It's so peaceful. Then I go to like the relaxation room, and those are my favorite. I bring a book. I'll usually finish about half a book when I go, and you sit by the fireplace. You smell the wood burning. You can get a tea. You can get a drink. You can like whatever you want to do. And then close your eyes. You take a nap. There's usually one big guy sitting in the corner asleep too, snoring. And it's just like, oh, so cute. And there's always usually a couple like making out in the relaxation room as well. But I love that. I feel so recharged after. I disconnected, I unplugged, and I spent $100. So I felt that, like, okay, Hyla, like we're committing to this. And I'm a big fan of retreats. Like I've been to a detox slash retreat in Thailand before. I've done something similar like that in Sri Lanka before. I've done a handful of things like this, and I love that. But I'm also like, okay, it's not all the time where I have to, spend a few thousand dollars, fly across the world, and get a retreat in, Sometimes A, our budget doesn't allow for it, or B, it's like we can do something like this once a month, and we can do like a mini retreat, a mini recharge. And I loved it. Similarly, I did something like this about 2 months ago. I actually had a gift card to the Four Seasons Spa in Toronto for a massage. So I got a massage, but I knew that, you know how they always say, arrive early and you can use the facility. I was like, in my head, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm arriving real early. I arrived like 3 hours early. And I brought a book, and I did the exact same thing there because they also had the hot tub. They had a lap pool. But my favorite is like the relaxation, like the change room, and they had the little granola snacks and lemon water and a sauna and steam room. And I just spent 3 hours there. And this is my hack. It's not really a hack, but bring a journal, like your own journal, and maybe load up some prompts. And by load up, I mean write them down, some journal prompts. So you could be like, I want to do some shadow work. And so, like, have some questions ready. Or there's a book called How to Do the Work by Dr. Nicole LaPera. It's one of my favorite books. She has a workbook for that book. I think it's called Let's Do the Work or How to Do the Work workbook. I don't know what it's called, but bring something like that. Spend like 45 minutes in that change room, just like answering these questions, connecting with yourself. I guarantee you, you're going to walk out of there being like, my money was better spent doing this than it was in a therapy session. And I'm not saying this is going to replace every therapy session, but I remember leaving the Four Seasons and I did exactly that. I was like, wow, like I really connected with myself. I felt that this was as deep as a therapy session. And look, it was a massage, So obviously, if I didn't have the gift card, something like that at the Four Seasons would have run me like $300. But if you have benefits, you can probably write off the massage with your benefits and your insurance, or you just treat yourself once a month or once a quarter or once a year to something like that and really go 4 hours early. Like, I don't know, or stay 2 hours after the massage and just get as much value as you can because like incredible. I just, if you can retreat and give yourself like a half day, full day retreat in the smartest way possible, I would highly recommend that. And let's say the budget doesn't allow for it. How can you give yourself that at home? Can you run the tub? Again, I think the key here is putting your phone away for 5, 6 hours. Put your phone away. All you have is your book out, you have a kettle. You have like a nice healthy lunch ready. You have your bathtub going. Do you have one of those steamer facial things? I think you can get those on like AliExpress for like $20 or even on Amazon. Maybe you're giving yourself a nice facial. Maybe you have the eucalyptus in the shower. Like, How can you give yourself an at-home like spa relaxation day? And one thing before we move on to the next question, I want to just say is if you do want to do it for also like the doing the work and like the therapeutic side of it, I would just recommend not just reading a book during like your rest time. Reading is, I believe reading is like doing. It's very, it can very much distract the mind. Whereas, and you can easily just try to avoid your own feelings and what's going on inside of your emotions by just reading. It can be the best book on spirituality and inner work, but you're still escaping it. That's why a lot of the retreat centers I've even been to, they don't even let you read, or maybe it's like 1 hour a day because they want you to be with your feelings and your thoughts. I would highly recommend bringing a journal. When I went to the Nordic spa last week, I did both. So I told myself I'm going to do my journal first. And then when I do this for at least an hour, then I'm going to go on and read. And then it was like my treat was reading. I wrote in my journal and I also wrote a poem. I really like to write poetry now. It's connecting back to like my inner child. That's what I used to do when I was like a little girl. So yeah, I've been doing that. Oh, look, my 9:15 p.m. alarm just went off. I have this like phone alarm at 9:15 every night, and it's called Routine Time with all these hearts. And it just kind of reminds me to like go upstairs. So my like apartment, it's like a two-story. It's just like a reminder to like, hi, it's time to go upstairs. Like if you're watching TV, if you're working, I don't know what you're doing, but like go upstairs and then do whatever you want upstairs, but just like without your phone. There's books up there, there's journals up there, but just time to unplug. And I will say many times I snooze that alarm about two times. So until it's like 9:45 or 10, and then I'm like, okay. Around 10 o'clock, I go up. So, okay, next question. I don't know what her name is. I can only see her username right here, but she asked weekly fitness routine. Right now, I'm working out with a trainer twice a week, and we focus on lower body pretty much, majority of it. That's because like my theory of like shaping my body, and I think it's so different for every single person's body based on your genetics, where you put on muscle more, where you put on fat more. My body is naturally quite petite in a way. Like if I don't lift, I lose my curves at times. If I'm like not lifting and I'm not eating a lot, I'm naturally quite tiny and I lose my curves. So I work out with the trainer twice a week now, and I'm like, let's go heavy. Let's hip thrust, do like, we're doing hypertrophy. I think it's hypertrophy. I just get really stumbled on that word a lot. Where like we're going as heavy as we can get, even to like one rep max. It's definitely more my like, I'm air quoting like my masculine workouts of the week, but it's fine. Like I feel feminine after, so it really doesn't matter. But I work out twice a week, heavy legs and glutes. And then the rest of my workouts are for flexibility, honestly. Like that's my main thing, is I want to stay flexible and flowing. Other than my two lifts per week. So right now, I'm doing about two yoga classes per week, and they're yin yoga classes. And my yoga instructor is like so spiritual. He's so incredible. It's not like a fake yin class. It's like a legit one where we're holding pigeon like 7 minutes on each side. Like it's a real yin class when you only get through like four or five postures the whole class. Like I love real yin because it really opens up, and I find that the best part of yin is the mental aspect of it. To sit still in an uncomfortable position for 5 to 7 minutes, oh, your mind wanders, your body gets agitated, and to surrender into that is one of the most feminine practices you can do, right? Because if you think about the yin and the yang, right, yin is the feminine whereas the yang is the masculine. And so I find that yin yoga is me practicing and, you know, connecting more to my feminine, because It's a total practice of surrender. And in really yin, you're not supposed to force the posture, and it really challenges your ego and your humility, because you're like, oh, I'm not so flexible. Should I like stretch harder and pull on my leg or whatever? And it's like, no, be gentle with your body. Let it go to where it can and just stay there, because it's more of like a marathon and not a sprint. And so it's such a beautiful practice. And I love just pairing my yin practice with my lifting, because it's like my yin and my yang, you know, I'm trying to find that balance. So I do about 2 lifts, 2 yin classes a week. And then life happens. So then, you know, you don't get in more workouts, or you do sometimes. If I can get in 1 to 2 more workouts, it's typically Pilates classes or like a Pilates yoga blend. Yeah. And sometimes, like if I'm at the gym where my yoga class is, I'll do a little like lat pull down or some back, because I do think back is super important when you're trying to build like a, you know, like a curvier body shape. And I also think it's really good for your posture. But I'm just not someone that feels like I need to like do bicep curls or shoulder press, because my upper body, I don't know, I feel like it already looks quite athletic. And you know, the strength I get from like the yoga practices every once in a while is like good enough for me. I'm just trying to put on mass on my lower body, because I think curves are really beautiful. And I think, I don't know, I just like the way my body looks when I'm lifting heavy on my lower body and just doing Pilates and yoga for my upper body and core. So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Okay, let's go on to the next question. Arden asked, what's your least favorite fashion trend? I think my least favorite fashion trend is kind of those like cutouts, you know, those pants with like cutouts on the side, or like if it's a dress, a long sleeve, high neck dress, and there's like these big cutouts in the dress. I'm not really a fan of like, I don't know how to describe it, but just really showing off the body as much as humanly possible. Like, I feel like sometimes there's dresses where it's like, let me have all these cutouts in it and let you show off every piece of your skin. And mind you, I've actually bought a few things probably like 4 years ago that had sort of cutouts like that in it. And immediately I, like, you know, have you ever bought something and you're like, this wasn't me, you know? And so I've sold them since, but it, yeah, I definitely wasn't being authentic to myself. I feel like I've always liked the feminine. I'm saying feminine because I mean like girly, or, you know, feminine looking type of clothing, something that's a little bit more, I don't want to say conservative, because I do like sexiness within my apparel for sure, but tasteful. I would say like, I like tastefully sexy clothes with a little bit of like a French. Sometimes I can lean a little bit more French. I tried streetwear and like street fashion kind of when I was starting 437, and it just wasn't me, you know. Like I bought a bunch of low dunks and, you know, off-white sweatpants and things like that. And I don't know, like I definitely tried to fit in because I feel like that was the cool look at the time. But I don't, it wasn't me, you know? And so, yeah, it didn't stick. But when I look back at like how I would dress as like a little girl, or when I was getting older, like I always felt most confident when I was wearing like a really nice like coat or boots or, you know, tights underneath a dress. And I just loved that look a lot. But I'm not one of those people that's like, let me try to look like I'm a 70-year-old grandma, like this, you know, never showing an inch of skin. Like I'm not like that. I like a whole, I definitely like a low back sexy dress that like hugs your curves. But I definitely believe in like, you know, if it's short, it's not also tight, and it's not also showing off my chest and everything. It's like, I feel like there's ways to be like classy and sexy at the same time. And I love playing with that, like that finding the intersection between those things, if that makes sense. So that's okay. Well, the question was, what's my least favorite style? So yeah, kind of like the, I don't like the trashy type of apparel look. And, you know, I also right now, I'm not a huge fan of like the, you know, those dresses that look like it's a woman's body, like drawn on it, or I guess the artwork of the dress is like a woman's body, like her boobs and her waist. Like at first I thought it was cool, but I don't know, like over time, I just like wasn't into it. I think it's, I don't know. I don't think it's as cute as, yeah. But again, like, I think it looks great on some people. Like I can appreciate how it looks on some people, but it's not something that I would ever resort to. Like I would much rather prefer, and I'm quite boring when I dress. Like some people would be like, oh, Hyla, she probably dresses so boring. It's all neutrals. She always wears white and it's same thing all the time. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. You know, I feel good in it. I feel really good in like a white linen dress or like a low back white dress moment or like a flowy skirt and like a little top or I don't know, like an oversized coat with some boots. Like I just have like my classics and it has saved me so much money with shopping as well. So yeah, I hope that answered that question. Let's see what the next question is. Ooh, this is an interesting one. Thoughts on birth control? My friends definitely know my answer to this because I talk about it all the time. I'm very not into pharmaceuticals unless you very much need it. Like unless you're sick or, you know, like a doctor really, like there's no other way around it. And I just believe so much in plant medicine. I believe so much in, you know, just doing things as natural as possible. I feel like birth control, in my opinion, is, I don't know, changing your body in a way that it's not meant to be changed. But I get it. Like, I actually get it. I've been on birth control for a couple months, and then I just didn't like how I felt. And this was like a long time ago. I've also tried the IUD. Oh my God, you want a funny story? Let's do a funny story. Okay. I got an IUD once and within, I think in a couple of days after they inserted it, I was at the gym and I was doing leg press and all of a sudden I got the worst cramps of my entire life. I was crying. I was about to cry. Like it was so bad. I remember immediately getting into my car and driving to the hospital. I parked my car in the middle of the street, like not even in the parking section of the hospital, like just right at the front of the entrance somewhere. I ran inside the emergency room, like sweating and crying and all this pain. And I like went up to the woman. I was like, I'm in so much, like it felt like, I don't know what was going on. My insides were like screaming. And obviously she made me sit down. And then finally the doctor saw me. And mind you, he was a handsome doctor. So this was very awkward. And I was like, doctor, like my, like, I don't know, this IUD, like I'm in so much pain. Can you please remove it like right now? And he was like, okay, I've never done this before, but I'm sure it's pretty easy. So, oh my God. And this doctor had to like, you know, I'm not going to spell it out, but you know, had to figure it out and remove it. And yeah, it was just like really awkward because he was handsome and yeah, it was just awkward. And after like, as it's happening and I'm like in so much pain, but also so much relief, he's like, do you want to keep this? I'm like, ew. but yeah, that, you know, my body really rejected it. And I'm not like, that's not the reason why I'm against it. At the time, I wasn't really thinking of like the wellness aspect and, you know, I wasn't into like natural and all these things, but now I would never do it. I just feel like it messes up with your hormones. And to me, there's nothing more important than, you know, taking care of things that are so precious. Like we're not all, able to have children, and that's really difficult. You know, like there's so many challenges with reproductive health these days, and it's so sad. And I mean, there's so much beauty in all the other things we can do, like adopt, and like I'm so for, whatever, how a family looks like to someone. But I think that us jeopardizing something that is so precious, like why would we jeopardize it? You know, and I feel like all of a sudden all these issues are popping up. There's anything to do with like the woman's cancers and the woman's organs. Like, I just want to be super careful with personally. I don't know. I think, I've heard people be like, oh, it's for my skin. I'm like, well, there's like, what's going on in your body that your skin is doing that? If it's your hormones, there's, you go, if you go to a naturopath, there's like other ways to balance out your hormones. Like, let's find out what the root causes of the thing that you're trying to fix with birth control. And if it's just for, the protection, I think there's other ways. There's other ways. If even like natural cycles and like cycle tracking, I think like that's a really great way. I know some women that are on birth control because they love not getting their period. Like, trust me, I get it. It's not like any woman's like, yes, this is amazing. Like, let's just have a week of annoying stuff. But I think that there's beauty in it. You know, ever since I've gone down a path of connecting more to my feminine energy, I like love the moments of retreat in my month. You know, I love the moments of energy. I love the moments of like the emotions, and I'm connecting more to that. And I also, I know that like it's a natural part of your body, and there's so much cleansing that happens through it. Like, like your skin looks better after, your body looks better after. It's like, why would I not want that? You know? And so, yeah, it's annoying, but I wear Knix wear, like those like underwears that with the, it's like I honestly feel like I don't even have it anymore, my period, because I just wear the underwear, and it, I don't know, like I just don't even have to buy anything anymore unless I'm going to the gym. But see, this week, for example, like I'm just finishing my period right now. I had my like my heavier days were like Monday, Tuesday, let's say. I told my trainer, I was like, let's not work out for like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Cause I'm like, that's just not the time for me to do like heavy lifting, da da da. And so it's like I just stayed home. I did a yoga class this week, and then tomorrow I'm gonna work out. So this week I moved my workouts to like Friday, Saturday, or Sunday rather than my usual like Monday, like Wednesday or Monday, Thursday. So I think it's beautiful. I'm not into birth control, so short answer, I'm not into it. I think if you can find any other alternative, that's so much better. Even for me, guys, like I limit myself to one Advil capsule a month. And even then, I'm like, oof, I'm sure there's an alternative here and I'm gonna figure it out. I get one Advil capsule because my cramps on day one are not that great. And I let myself have one, and it lasts me long enough for the day to like get through the pain. But even then, like I try not to. But I think pain is not good for your body either. So I'm not saying like if anyone's in pain, like go, don't take Advil or whatever. I'm just in my mind, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna have more bananas. I'm gonna have like, what can I learn about my body here? Am I not having enough magnesium? Am I not having enough potassium? Like, what does my body need more of to avoid these cramps? Number one, that's always gonna be the first question, is what can I do naturally? What is my body saying to me? Okay, and then number two is, okay, how can I do this with taking the least amount of, substance, I guess, chemical substance. But sorry, I'm like a little weirdo with those sort of things, but I'm not someone that judges. Like, there's no judgment if you're taking Advil, if you're on birth control, but that's just my personal opinion. How do you manage your finances? What does quiet luxury mean to you? How do I manage my finances? I would say it's a much larger conversation. If that's something you guys want me to do a full episode on, I would love to. That could be really fun and really interesting. I'm actually in the process of trying to figure out new budgeting tools because I want to get a lot more on the ball of my budgeting. I feel like I'm really smart with my money in terms of I invest my money right away, and then what I'm left with, I will spend and I'll have fun with. And I'm very responsible about like how much I invest, the things I've done with like my investment money that I feel quite, I'm proud that I did earlier on in my career. But I will honestly say that, you know, with the money, let's say if you have like $300 left over in the month after you invest in your expenses or whatever, I feel that with that $300 left, I don't have a lot of control. Like, I'll just say, oh, this is shiny thing. Like, let me spend 300. Whereas, can I budget towards even like a nice shiny item that I want one time a year where I can like budget a little bit every month to get that? And I feel like I haven't found the sweet spot on like that yet. I feel like I'm a little bit more impulsive with my like fun money, but I'm not too hard on myself because I'm like, okay, it is my fun money. I did do the investments, I did pay my bills, I did do all that, but still, you know, it would be nice to like save up for like one nice thing or one really, I don't know, like something meaningful in a way. What does quiet luxury mean to me? To me, quiet luxury is less about like logo mania. Like, I'm really not into logo mania. I think quiet luxury could be like, you know, you decorate your home in a way that feels really good to you. I think that's the thing. It's like it feels good. Quiet luxury could be wearing something that has a really good fabric and you're like, wow, I feel so good in this cashmere or in this whatever. And you're not in something that's like scratchy and itchy. Or like a good quality boot that's like really comfortable, or a heel you can walk in. For example, I love my heels. What are they? What's the brand? Let me look. I have so many versions of them saved on the RealReal. So I'm like, if they come out in black, like I'm gonna buy them immediately. Okay, yes, they're Gian Vito Rossi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Gian Vito Rossi. Maybe it's an Italian thing. Gian Vito Rossi. They're like this braided flip-flop sandal. You know those like flip-floppy looking sandals, like heeled sandals? Oh my goodness. I have them in like a nude color and they are so comfortable. And I got them on the RealReal for like $200 because they were used and worn. I think originally they're probably like $700. Oh, they're so comfortable. And I'm like, can you imagine spending $100 on these from like, you know, like sort of like a fast fashion brand or like a shoe store in the mall for $100 and they're not comfortable versus, you know, even if they were the $700 and I bought them new, that to me is like, wow, like if you can walk in a dress in those heels and you're confident and they feel so comfortable, I'm like, that to me is quiet luxury. And I don't care if people know that there's Gian Vito Rossi, like, sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. But I'm like, I would rather, like, I don't care if people know that they're expensive or not. I feel really good in them. You know, like, I love, like for me, quiet luxury can be that, you know, like, I don't know. I like my bags. I love handbags. Like, that's like my, you know, if someone collects art, someone collects cars, whatever, like, I love bags. Like, that's my thing. And I want to have a really nice bag and, you know, a good shoe. The shoe can be used, even the bag can be used and purchased secondhand. Like, I love secondhand purchasing. But my outfit could be like, if it's a beautiful skirt from Zara, it's a beautiful skirt from Zara. Like, as long as to me it looks good. I love wearing like neutral colors. Like, for example, my perfect outfit, like that I keep, not perfect as in you think it's perfect, like to me, I think it's perfect, is like a flowy white skirt that like hugs my hips, but like flowy on the bottom a little bit with like a white top. I love the white on white or cream on cream. And then I'll like pair that with like a really nice handbag and nice neutral pair of heels. Like, to me, that is my favorite way to dress because it's more, you know, your makeup shines through a little bit more, your hair shines through more. I just think it's like so tasteful, it's so chic, but to some it's boring and that's okay. You know, that doesn't mean I won't put on a colorful dress from now here and there, but to me, I think that's what I think of quiet luxury. Like, I don't know, like I love my Hermes blanket, you know, like I think like that has a logo on it, and I'm not gonna shy away from that. But I'm also not someone that's gonna be like, oh, yeah, I want this like Gucci bag because it has Gucci logo all over it. And like, I just wanna show the Gucci logo off. Like, that's not my vibe either. I think quiet luxury is just that, like, you feel good in something. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, let's find the next question. What would you do if you didn't do 437? Ooh. What back when I was starting it, I probably would have worked at a startup in influencer marketing, maybe, or brand, the brand side or marketing side, like something along those lines, business development. I definitely loved the startup path and the startup scene. I remember thinking, I'm like, oh, I want to move to San Francisco, go work at Google. But I'm also like, I think I would have maybe worked at a brand I loved in like a business role. Now, if let's say I know what I know and I'm not like a student with like, just graduated and have living at home, but I'm now like where Hyla is today, and let's say 437 didn't exist. Well, I mean, I love the consulting work that I do on the side. It's my passion. Like, I love doing it and I connect so much with entrepreneurs, and I always have so many ideas, like business ideas, growth ideas, things like that. But I'm always like, I just don't have the capacity to take on and start new businesses. That's what I love about my consulting, is I get to bring that brain power to other people's businesses because I'm not the execution day-to-day person. But that's what they want from me, is like they want the ideas, they want the strategy, they want the direction. So maybe I would do that more. I mean, if I didn't do 437, I'd do the podcast more. Like, I love this. This has been so fun and great to connect with. I guess I would treat the podcast more of a like a business then. Whereas right now it's just like a passion project. I mean, I'm recording this and it's like 10 p.m. on a Thursday night when I should be in bed. It's like I'm just having fun. I would also probably be in real estate more. This is something I've never really talked about, but maybe I could talk about on a future episode of like the real estate investing I've done. I've invested in like residential properties that I've turned into Airbnbs. I've done commercial. Yeah, it's been very interesting investing in real estate, and I've learned a lot. I had one property on Airbnb one time, and it definitely does well financially, like having something on Airbnb, but it was also a headache. But I think my dream would be to like own, and I still want to do this. I want to own Airbnbs all around the world, rent them out, obviously like on Airbnb, and then I can go stay in them whenever I want. So like, can you imagine how cool that'd be if like you had an Airbnb in like Australia and Sydney, let's say, and you had one little cute little house in Italy, and you had an apartment in Paris, and you had a condo in Miami, and it's like they're all making money because they're on Airbnb, but you can just go and stay there whenever you want. Like, imagine having a cabin in the French Alps, and it's all a business, but you get to enjoy them. Like, oh, it's like blending in like what you love doing and finding a way to turn that into business is so nice, but that is tough to do. Like, you'd have to buy all those properties. Or of course there's like Airbnb arbitrage where people nowadays are like renting properties and flipping them into Airbnbs. It's obviously complicated and there are people out there who teach you how to do that. I don't know. That to me sounds like a bit of a headache, but again, if I didn't do 437, maybe I would learn that method and start doing that until I'd have enough money to own all those properties.
Because that's cool. Okay, let's see. What was your first real big girl splurge? I would say I did it at a time where I probably shouldn't have splurged. I definitely made that mistake a lot early on in my career. I started making a salary from 437 and I was in this like, brand founder world, and I was around these influencers, and I just felt pressured to fit in and to have designer stuff. I don't know. I think I bought a pair of Louis Vuitton sneakers. I know, like they weren't like, I look back now, I'm like, this is not my style. I don't even resonate with Louis Vuitton for sneakers. And I just remember like wearing them like three times and being like, this is not my style, but I've already purchased them, I've already worn them. I just had this weird, like, I don't know. I walked into the store that day. I had this like weird, when you're just not connected to your authentic self and you feel pressured, and I don't know, like a feeling of like maybe not loving yourself truly, And I don't know. I just thought that if I did this, I would, and I was living in LA at the time. That's a huge component here. I was living in LA. I was trying to work from the Soho House every day to try to like meet people and connect with people. And I had didn't have anything designer. And so I got the sneakers. I thought that, they'd look good with all my outfits. And yeah, it just wasn't me. And eventually I ended up selling them for like a third of how much I bought them for. But it was a valuable lesson that, never again am I going to buy something because I feel like I need to fit in, After that, I think that maybe at a more appropriate time, I remember I splurged on a Louis Vuitton duffel. You know those ones like the airport, like the duffels. I think I got the medium size one. To this date, I still use that all the time. Amazing investment. I love it. I think it's about $1,000, but the amount of use I've gotten out of that duffel. To this day, if I'm going into the office and I have like a photo shoot and I'm bringing a bunch of stuff, that we're using for to style at the shoot, I'll bring that duffel because I put a bunch of things in there and it looks cool. When I go to the airport, sometimes I bring it. I will say I don't like putting things on my shoulder because it's just like a lot on the shoulder. But a weekend away, I always bring the duffel if it's like, we're going to a nice hotel. I don't know. I loved it. I think it was a great investment and I still get use out of it today. And I do see like in the resale market, it gets maybe not its full value, but it definitely holds some of it. So I think it's a great investment and it's, that was a good one.
But yeah, that was my first real splurge. What bag do you use for work? Looking for something that will fit my laptop.
Honestly, I actually need something like this because, yeah, I had the Dior book tote. I think that's what it's called. It's just not great for a heavy laptop. It loses its shape and it doesn't have something you could put, I don't know, over the shoulders. I'm obsessed with what I'm seeing at Bottega right now. Ooh, I'm so tempted, but right now I'm in a very budget, on my savings and investing right now. But yeah, I really do want to invest in a nice work bag. I know there's a lot of like brands that are reasonably priced for good leather, like laptop bag, but I don't have any off the top of my head right now that I can suggest. But one thing I will say is the RealReal, I'm obsessed with the RealReal. I always shop secondhand for like some of my outfits and like little accessories, especially shoes. The RealReal has some like good secondhand like totes for work. You can find like I was looking at this old school Bottega one. It was like $700, which is a lot cheaper than if you go into the store and spend $3,000, So
Just something to think about.
okay, I've got a lot of questions about my hair care routine. Right now I'm using, what's the brand? Amika?
Is it called Amika? Amika?
Yes, it is called Amika. Okay. I'm using the Amika shampoo and conditioner and it's the hydration formula. And this was not even gifted. I just bought it once and I thought it was really nice and hydrating for my hair. And I've been loving that. I also have their like deep conditioning treatment, or I think it's like a some sort of treatment that they have. That's been good. I use the K19 as well and the Olaplex treatments at times. I do get questions a lot about like what curly hair products do I use? I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't see a huge difference in my hair between different curly hair products, but this is my like how I do it though. In the shower after I condition my hair and I'm finished showering, I scrunch out the water out of my hair. Then I go in with a mousse and I make sure the mousse is not just the ends, but like the top of my head as well. And then I will add in either a curl cream at this point, and again, scrunching in while I'm doing that, or I just skip that part and I just do a curl gel. Most often it's just mousse and gel. And I scrunch that into my whole hair. And I don't diffuse my hair much. More often than not, it's just air dry. But what I do is I'll take a big claw clip. And as soon as I get out of the shower, I'll just clip my hair like try to scrunch all of your hair into this claw clip on top of your head.
I find what that does, it kind of sounds silly, but it's like a diffuser hack, I guess, because it's keeping your hair at the top of your head. So it kind of maintains some volume and it's kind of putting it like in like a curl pattern in a way. And then with the claw clip strategy, I would every like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just take it out and then put it back in. But like, so that your hair like gets back up on your head in like a different way, if that makes sense. I do that for a little bit and then till it's like half dry or 3/4 dry, and then I'll take it out and let it dry the rest. That's something I do every once in a while. I find that where I am, like if I'm outside versus inside in air conditioning versus outside in the heat, my hair will curl differently and dry differently. It's going to be super poofy, if it's going to be super like flat, that makes a huge difference as well. So I don't know, I just have big hair and not really defined curls, I will say. I think I could definitely work on getting more defined curls, but I think just because my hair just looks really big and poofy, I don't know, sometimes it just ends up looking okay. But I will say it's a lot sometimes, you know, it's like a line.
Sometimes it's just a little too much. But yeah. And if you do have curly hair like me, I definitely recommend going to like a curly hair salon for a treatment, because they just get curly hair and they teach you how to like do your hair in a way that looks really great. But lately I've just been getting blowouts and I'm like, I like this on my hair. You know, I like the look of a blowout. So I go through different seasons where I'm like, do I want to be in my curly hair high low vibe? Do I want to be in my blowout hair vibe? And I just kind of alternate. Yeah, it's fun. I really use beauty, like my hair, my makeup, things like that. And even my wardrobe to like, how do I want to feel? Like, which persona do I want? Like, I just have fun in it. Like, in it. I sound like I'm British. In it. No, I just have fun with it, you know? And I don't know, I think that's like being girly. It's just like so fun. Favorite wellness and beauty products, supplements, skincare, etc. It's like a little bit too late for me to like run off a whole list, but I will say lately I've been taking, this is going to sound disgusting, ladies, bear with me. Okay, fine. I'm going to say it. Beef organs. So essentially like the organs of the animals. Those, apparently, I saw a girl on TikTok talk about how like it changed her skin. I also know there's so many nutrients in those capsules as well. I've noticed that my skin has gotten a lot more glowy since I've incorporated them. But as of January 1st, 2024, I tried a whole new skincare supplement routine and I've seen a huge difference. So I think it's just a mixture of all of it together. But the biggest changes I made is I went on like a 90% Korean skincare routine. So like 90% of my products are Korean skincare. And then I also use the Medicube. It's like the device that Hailey Bieber once used. And I was like, okay, I need this. I got it on Amazon. It's called Medicube. I don't know. I use that a couple times a week. I use all Korean skincare products for most part. I started tretinoin, but I only use it once or twice a week. So I don't know. I don't know if that's making a huge difference. I started the beef organs and I also have been regularly getting microneedling done once every month or 2 months. I will say that helps a lot, but I can't pinpoint what exactly it is, but you know, it's one of those or the grouping of all of it. I would definitely at least start with the Korean skincare. I think that's a really great start, and getting like a microneedling treatment and getting the beef organ supplements. I think you could start there. That's like the cheapest thing. Maybe not having to kind of go into the Medicube. I don't know. I don't know if it's worth the money, to be honest. Okay, Juliana asked, Hyla, I would love for you to explore entrepreneurial guilt on your episode. I think this is alluding to the comment I made on, I think it was either episode 1 or 2, about how there's entrepreneurial guilt when you're starting, not just starting, when you have your own company, because one of the main reasons, like the selling points, if you will, to start a company is that escape the 9 to 5, like create your own hours, you know, travel when you want. Like, of course, like we all know that, like, you know, if we were playing Family Feud and someone was, the question was, why do people want to start their own business? One of the top three for sure would be to like have like time flexibility, right? But there's like not only do most people start a company or become a business owner and now have to work more than the 9 to 5 and work more than they ever did prior, but B, if they can get to the point where they've hired a leadership team or if they've hired, you know, specific roles that they don't have to be as operational, there's this thing that's not really talked about, but there's a lot of guilt in it. There's guilt in wanting to run errands during the day. There's guilt in wanting to do a Pilates class during the day. There's a guilt of posting your vacations, you know, and it's a strange thing. And I completely understand the guilt and I understand where the guilt's coming from. Like, yeah, you have a team that's working hard, and that's not to say that the business owner is not working hard or is not working at 8 p.m. that night, let's say, and maybe is just taking a 1 hour break to do a Pilates class. But I know what it feels like to take that 1 hour break during the day and the guilt that goes behind it. So I'm not going to say like on this episode, we'll be able to get like too deep into this, because I would love to dive into it more, maybe even have some other perspectives of other entrepreneurs and business owners who feel this guilt. But I'd love this to be a dialogue, you know, like if you work at a company and there's like the business owner. I mean, I think it's one thing if it's like a huge company, but like if you're working at a small to medium sized company, how do you feel if the owner of the company was shopping in the middle of the day or running errands in the middle of the day or traveling whenever they want and like going from one place to the other? How do you feel? Does that make you feel weird? Does that make you like you, do you roll your eyes at that? Do you feel that, yeah, you know what, that makes sense, because like that's like, I'd do the same if I wasn't, like, I don't know, like it's such a dialogue. Like I don't know how I would feel. I think there's so much that goes into it. I think like anything on the internet, this is something I really don't like about the internet, is that like people get like such polarizing opinions. It's like far left, far right. And I'm not talking about politics. I'm just talking about like opinions. And it's like everything is nuanced. Like there's like this question even of itself can't just be answered without the context, right? Like how big is the company? How involved is the business owner? How are the people on the team being treated? Are they allowed flexibility? You know, does it make sense? Does it not make sense? And even to each person individually will have their own answer on how they would be within if it was their own company, right? Like, I don't know. I see total both sides. I'm like, imagine it would suck starting a company wanting time flexibility and then you feel like a prisoner and you can't take that time flexibility. But then you're like, what the frick? I just started this company so that I could have some freedom and some flexibility. Right? But I also get the other side. So yes, there's this guilt that comes with it. And I don't think we can unpack it all today. But let's, you know, if anyone has any thoughts on this, send me a DM, send me some questions, some thought-provoking questions or comments, and let's have a beautiful heart-to-heart and chit-chat about this, because, you know, I think that it's not like a one-size-fits-all answer. And I always ask my entrepreneur friends about this question, because I'm like, how do you guys deal with this? You know, because yes, of course I want to take a Pilates class middle of the day when there's no traffic. Of course, you know, and of course I know that I'm working any odd hour than I need to, and there's no one that cares more about the results and my team being happy and everything getting done and us growing. No one's going to care more about it than the business owner. It's their baby, right? So it's like a tough, tough act. It's a tough balance right there for sure. Let's do another one. There's a couple questions on feminine energy, but why don't we save that one for a specific episode? Because I feel like we can group them all into one thing. And I feel like this one, we can keep it a little bit more girly. You know what I mean? Like a little more fun, girly questions. There's a lot of questions about business, and they're good questions, like how to grow business as a woman in these times, or tell us about the 437 struggle and how you overcame it, how much money to put aside before starting a business. All amazing questions. I just think that we should group those into a business episode. I think we'll take two more questions. Chloe asked, can you talk about navigating losing a tight friend group, in brackets roommates, after uni? Ooh, obviously I don't have all the context here. It's like, why did you lose this friend group? Was it something you did? Was it something they did? Or was it just a natural progression? So for the example of this question, I'll just assume it was like natural. It just fizzled out over time. I think, you know, everything, you know, in my life now, I try to look at it in an angle of feminine energy, right? If that's just how it's unraveling and how it's presenting itself, and they're not crazy about trying to stay connecting in connection to you, you don't want to have to fight for your spot in a friendship. Do you know what I mean? And I personally would just let it unfold the way it's unfolding. I've actually taken that approach a lot with friendship over the last few years. You know, I used to be like really, like I have like my core best friends, like best friends from like when I was 6 years old to like tightest friends, whatever. But I also had a few friends that I've built over like the last 6, 7 years of my life. And, you know, at times I would approach it from like my masculine energy of like, you know, trying to control the, not control the, I don't know if the word's control, but like trying to make sure the friendship was a certain way because we gave each other a certain title, or we're like, oh, we're best friends. And then I'd be like upset, and because they're not treating me the way I would treat them as a best friend. And I had these expectations too, because I'm like, I wouldn't do that as a best friend. And I feel like when I stopped, when I let go of the expectations and I just saw it for what it actually was, there was so much peace in that. I was able to appreciate the friend for exactly what they brought to my life, and how I could reciprocate and how I could show them love. And they all just naturally fell into the places they needed to be. Some of my friendships became even closer through this because I was able to be just more vulnerable and be more present because they were being that. Some of my friendships, I was like, wait, I don't actually think we're best friends the way that we called each other best friends, because like, at least in my mind, this is not what best friendship looks like, you know? So to answer your question, how do you navigate it? I think you should just, you lean back and you surrender into it a little bit, you know, and this is again, under the assumption that like, you're okay with the fact that it's fizzling out. Like you're not trying to force the friendship if they don't want it either. What I would do is try to attract a friendship that like is like, blossoms out of like what your new path and interests are and your energy that you're in. And probably I would assume that maybe the friends from university, maybe that you're talking about, because it started, you're losing it. Maybe it's, you're not all in that same core energy, or interests, or, you know, I don't know, maybe there's a lack of connection at some point in that. So I don't know. I'd really think about like, what are you looking for in friendship right now? You know, I used to think that I wanted friends that were as busy as I was. So, you know, I don't have to talk to them all the time. And like, we'll just check in when we need to. And it's like, yeah, that was at a certain point in my life. But now I actually love talking all the time to a friend. Like I'm cool with that. Like if they want to call me once or twice a week and we have a long conversation, or they're texting me every time something silly happens, like, yeah, like I have space for that in my heart and in my mind and in my time now. Whereas maybe like 4 years ago, I wasn't like, that wasn't what I was like looking for in friendship. You know, I obviously, even now I think about it, I'm like, I feel like I'm so grateful for the friends that I have. And I'm not someone that wants like this massive friend group. Like I have a couple close girlfriends. Like I'm happy. That's all I need, you know, but it's like, I'm also going down a path of like connecting to my feminine energy more and like, you know, finding like a soul sister and like a goddess. I don't know. I'm just reading a lot of books and like this goddess soul sister space. And, you know, it's quite interesting to see if a friendship will naturally attract itself in this energy. And I don't know if I need it, or I don't know if that's what's on the path for me, but I'm so open to it. I don't know if that makes sense. So I don't know, if I was you, I would try to think of like what would be like the ideal friendship for you, and think of like where someone like that would be, and you know, whether you want to like manifest it, and think of like Dr. Joe Dispenza's work, and try to, I don't know, use tools to kind of manifest and call in a friendship like that. Or you can, you know, we can think of like using the masculine energy a little bit, which is totally okay. Try to get, you know, strategic and be like, where can I find friends like that? But I don't know. I personally don't want like to be where I'm not wanted. And if that friend group is just dying out, I think don't be so hard on yourself. I've had friendships fizzle out. I mean, high school, we all moved to different places. We all went to university, different places. And, you know, like I still have so much love in my heart for the woman that I was friends with in high school. And if I ever was like ran into them, whatever, oh my God, it would just, my heart would be lit up. But we don't talk anymore, you know? And that's like maybe Instagram DMs a couple times a year, maybe. Like that's okay. And I think like, you know, like how can you imagine if we had to keep up the friendship from every single, like from elementary school and then the friends from high school, then the friends from university, then your friends from work? It's like, you'd have like 20 best friends, and that's like a lot. I think some will naturally stay as like good friends, or you kind of, they end up being in like the acquaintance category. Some of them become your bridesmaids, you know? And so I think naturally friendships really do evolve. And I don't know, I, instead of trying to forcefully make something happen or resist something, I would just kind of go with the flow, and more so think about what it is you really want, if that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. It was like a long-winded answer, but again, it's kind of like a chit chat. You know, I feel like if my friend was sitting here asking me that question, I would have said all of that. I am a bit chatty with my friends, I will say. Let's do one more. And then it's, oh my God, it's 10:30 PM. It's definitely time for bed. I'm so tired today. I have been so tired this week. I don't know what it is, but it's, you know, like something that I love is that I've just been so tired this week, and I just like canceled everything in my schedule, and not in like a bailing way. I don't bail on my friends like that. That's something that I can't get behind. I'm not like a, hey, sorry, I'm not feeling well, I'm not going to come tonight. And like, just like, you never know who's been looking forward to that plan their whole week. Like canceling dates and canceling like hangouts, like unless it's, you're really sick. I don't know. I'm just like, I would not do that to my friends. Like I show up, you know? But I meant like, I canceled like all of my, like I had a bunch of yoga classes planned this week. I like canceled a bunch of them. I was going to do like a bunch of, like, I was going to pack this week for my trip to LA. That's on Sunday. I was like, I'm just like so tired. Like as much as I could, I cleared my evening schedule, and I was just like, I just want to clean my house, have a clean, and then just ploop. Is the word ploop or plop? I just want to like plop. Like I want to just chill. I want to listen to a podcast. I want to read. I just want to sleep. I really wanted to sleep a lot this week. That's just like one thing I've really gotten to grasp this year, is that oftentimes we're so
fixated on like the perfect morning routine and the perfect night routine that we forget, like, why is it that we want a solid morning routine? Why is it that we want like a solid night routine? And it's because like we want to feel good, or we want to, like, I don't know, you have to answer that question yourself. For me, my morning routine, that's like, I want to feel like I'm starting the day off on a good note, good energy. Sometimes I find like doing too much in the morning actually doesn't do that, or I'm stressed. My nighttime routine, my goal is that I want to feel relaxed and connected to myself and my feminine energy before bed. So I'm like, what do I do to make me feel that way? If it's like a checklist and it's just too many things and I'm just stressed about checking off all those things, I'm like, oh, I'm not feeling like that. But to connect with myself, I'm like, okay, like, Hilo, what do you want to do tonight? You want to read? You want to journal? Okay. You want to talk to God? You want to, I don't know, what is it? And you want to do poetry? Tonight, I want to do the podcast episode, you know? So, yeah, you just have to, anyways, that was just like something I wanted to quickly throw in there because that was like a big question. There was a lot of questions here on like relationship advice and things like that. I think we could do a separate episode on all things love and relationships, and even like things I've learned over the years, things you don't regret buying, health wellness related. Oh, my Vitamix, like a good blender is worth the money because I make good smoothies all the time. Another thing, this is not really health wellness, but a vanity. Like, if you can find an area in your place to put like a little mini desk, even, and turn it into like a little vanity station, I find that like getting ready in the morning, sitting in my vanity, doing my gua sha, and then doing my makeup, it feels so sexy and it feels so girly. And I love that. I just don't think I could ever go back, but it is tough if you like live in a, like a tiny Toronto apartment. Like, I get it. None of my apartments, I could have done that. But this, my new place, it's not new. It's been like 2 years now, but I have an office room. And again, like, even a vanity doesn't even make sense in my office. But I just found like this little nook for it that kind of works. And I just take my desk chair, like from my like desk area, and then I use that chair in my vanity area. And I just like love getting ready there. But yeah, it is kind of annoying to figure out if, you know, you're also like me in like a minimal square footage in a city condo. It's like next to impossible. But if you can, you know. What else? I love like the red light therapy. You know, it's hard to say. Like, I've never really been like, okay, here's my before and after, and I see a difference. I can't speak to that. But I feel good when I'm doing the wellness girly stuff. And I think, you know, placebo is a real thing. And I'm not saying that these things are placebo, but if I feel good doing these practices, then that's really all that matters. Like, I think feeling like you're that girl, doing things that you're like, okay, I'm a wellness girl. I think in the book Atomic Habits, it talks about like you have to begin to identify with that person that does these things, right? Sometimes getting in your best shape actually isn't working out all the time. Some, you know, we all know it's more nutrition. It's just that the person that then identifies as I'm someone that works out 5 times a week, or I'm someone that works out every day, or whatever, that person with that identity eats really well more often than not. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like the wellness stuff, it's like, are you a wellness girly? And again, you don't have to have these expensive things to become a wellness girly. It's just that I think that it's like a double benefit. It's like the benefit of the actual product, but then also the benefit of like, I'm someone that puts, like, I'm not saying I am actually, I mean, I guess I am, but I'm like, yeah, like I am someone that will spend money on things that make me feel better, things that make me look better, things that are better for my body. And I identify as that person because like I care about those things. And so the red light, you know, lights or the mask I think are great. Okay, I just got a Dyson. Well, I got it on Black Friday on sale. I got a Dyson air purifier
And it's like a two in one, or it's, I guess it's a three in one. It's an air purifier, it's a humidifier, and it's also a fan. I love it. I mean, I love the slight white noise it gives. And I think putting it in your bedroom is amazing. The fan is so good in cooling and it's so good for your sleep. But the humidifier is obviously amazing for your skin and your breathing. But the air purifier, I think I read this somewhere or I saw like a video, but it's like your lungs do the purifying, right? Like for your body, like it takes the, I mean, I'm no, I stopped science in grade 11. So let me not answer this, but it's like your lungs are going to do less of the purifying if you have a purifier. So it's better on your lungs. Or at least that's the video I saw, and it made me believe that. And so I justified buying this overpriced Dyson purifying thing. But you know, it's like I'm at the age and the point in my life where I'd rather spend money on that than, I don't know, like what's something else you could spend $800 on? Like, I don't know. I don't buy like a lot of like clothes, like new clothes from like clothing online stores. Like I love buying used, like the real, like secondhand vintage, or I just wear a lot of 437. Like I live in activewear, so I'm always in 437, or I have a couple like staple outfits for like I wear all the time, like a good pair of jeans, like Abercrombie, honestly, and like some tops. Or I go on the RealReal and I get like something that's unique, but like secondhand. Like I try to find ways to save money. And yeah, I'd much rather have like a good something that is in my bedroom where I sleep every single night that makes my sleep quality better. Better for my lungs, allegedly, and better for my skin. I guess that's worth the money. Korean skincare, I would say, is worth it. I have the new face. Don't know. Yeah, I mean it works. I think the problem is I don't use it enough. Like I sometimes get lazy with that. If I think of any more, I'll let you guys know. But those are the ones that are coming to me off the top of my head. Yeah, okay, I think we're gonna wrap up here. I thought this was gonna be a lot shorter of a heart to heart, but I think that the girly chit chat ended up, yeah, there was a lot of amazing questions, and we just, that's my problem. My one answer, I think it's gonna take like 3 minutes. I can answer a question and it takes like 20 minutes. Like, I don't know. I wish I could be more concise, guys, but it's just my true nature is just to sit and chat and elaborate. So if you're interested in connecting with me, my Instagram, my TikTok, everything is in the show notes. You can always DM me. I'd love to hear your feedback. Did you like the girly chit chat? Do you want me to do more of these? There's a question you have that you want me to answer in the next episode. Let me know. If you want to become one of my clients, you can check that out in my show notes as well. I offer one-on-one business consulting. And due to lots of requests, I now offer one-on-one heart-to-hearts. So it's the same principle of my business consulting, but it's for those who are like, you know, I don't necessarily want to talk about business or career, but Hyla, you know, I'm struggling with connecting to my feminine energy or trying to figure out how to balance, you know, what's important in my life or, you know, how I'm showing up in my relationship or, you know, spirituality and wellness or just. I have a client who's just like, Hi, like, I just want to talk to you every single, like she meets with me every 2 weeks. She's like, I just want to talk to you every 2 weeks, like have a space where I could talk to you in private. And, you know, what we talk about is confidential. And like, yeah, we've just like, she's just shared so much of her like life with me. And she just asks me for my advice on like what I would do in these situations that she's in. And like, yeah, she's also like, Hyla, like, this is where I want to be like a few years from now. Like, what do you like? What's like the roadmap? Like, what should I be doing? And I've like recommended just like a lot of things for her. And it's just been so amazing. Like, I love it. And so, yeah, everything's in my show notes. And what else? What else? A lot of people don't know this because I feel like if you started following me over the last like maybe 1 or 2 years, or you found me through the podcast, you might not know that I have a course on everything you need to know about starting and launching and growing a business. Because I launched that over 2 years ago now, which is crazy. It's called How the Fuck Do I Start? Well, it's technically How TF Do I Start, but you know, it's How the Fuck Do I Start? And it's like the number one question I always got was like, Hyla, how did you and Adrian, how'd you guys start 437? And So instead of me being like, okay, well, I can't really answer that over DM in like three sentences that it's going to be meaningful, impactful to you to actually help you start and launch and grow successfully. You know, Adrian and I worked on it for a year, putting together a course that is a roadmap, everything you need to know about finding a manufacturer, influencer marketing, building a collection, position, like a positioning map on like, you know, how expensive your brand should be, or like, you know, what the attitude and the vibe and the personality of the brand should be. And like, just we go over everything, and we go over all the things that we wish we did with when we started 437 to avoid the mistakes and the really expensive mistakes we made. So yeah, I just wanted to like share some of these things, because so often like I'll have like a client and they're like, oh my God, I didn't know you had a business course. So I'm like, yes. Like, you know, I think that, yeah, I've just learned so much over the last few years, and I just want to make sure people don't make the same mistakes that I did. So yeah, those are ways to connect with me and continue to learn if there's anything that I've gone through that you want to learn from. But thank you again for being part of this community, guys. Like, it's so strange to say this. Well, is it strange? I don't know. But the DMs that I'm receiving, I'm just in awe of you guys. Like, I'm like, you guys are like, there's the sweetest woman. Like, I feel like we're building this beautiful community here of like, I can tell like based on the DMs, it's like, you have purpose. Like there's things that you guys want to achieve, and like, you guys are working hard, and like, you guys are all so impressive, like in your careers. But I can tell like that we're all going through it at the same time of like this, how do we stay in our femininity? And like, how do we, you know, how are we showing up in our relationships? How are we showing up as like women while wanting to, you know, make the money and, you know, own the dream house and like, you know, just go into this path that we are dreaming of without feeling burnt out and masculine and like all these things. And I can like, I feel all of your hearts when you guys DM me, and it's just like, it's been so amazing. And I'm like, wow, like you guys have been following me this whole time, and like, I didn't even connect with you guys in this capacity, and now I am. And I mean, it's not like I have a whole lot of followers, you know, I'm not like some million follower person, you know, but it's like, I don't care about the numbers. I care about the quality of like our hearts, and like, it's so present. So if there's any ways in which like you guys are like, Hyla, let's create a group where we all get to connect, or do a book club or in-person events, like if there's anything I can do to help facilitate interactions together in person or virtually, please let me know, because this energy, this community just feels so special. And I know we're just getting started, this is episode 4, but I guess I'm just surprised and shocked, and like, I didn't anticipate so many kind messages and just so many women that I'm like, wow, like I would love to meet you, you know, I'd love for us to connect and talk and do this. Imagine we were able to sit in a circle and just like talk about stuff and cry, and like, we're all going through the same stuff. Like the amount of DMs I've received with like people being like, I've gone through this in my relationship too. Oh my God. And I thought that, you know, it's just, okay. Anyways, I'm chatting, blurbing on. It's time for me to go to bed. It's like 11 PM now. We've been recording for quite a bit. So I'm actually recording another episode tomorrow with a special guest. And then I'm off to LA this weekend. And yeah, I'll be filming a few more episodes out in LA. And I'm doing a very exciting seminar weekend there. So I'll definitely be sure to fill you guys in on that. I'm so excited. It's going to be in San Diego. And yeah, I'm so excited to share more about that. But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening. And yeah, I will speak to you guys on the next episode. From my heart to yours. Bye.